This is Morning Edition on KACU. I'm Heather Claiborne. When Taylor County began tracking voter turnout in 1976, officials recorded 52,739 registered voters. For the first primary recorded in 1978, over 17,000 voters turned up to the polls, 16,815 voted as Democrats. Only 502 people cast Republican ballots. That dynamic slowly shifted, with Republicans surpassing Democrats in 1990 by about 700 ballots. Now, there are 79,000 registered voters in Taylor County. In 2016, fewer than 24,000 of them voted in the primary, and of those, 22,647 cast Republican ballots. Taylor County's low primary turnout numbers mirror those across the U.S., but primaries are key to America's democratic process. Frieda Reagan is Taylor County's elections administrator. She joins me now to talk about the ballots and the process for the March 6th vote. I'd love for you to start by explaining the open primary system. What happens when a voter shows up at the polling station?
In Texas, if a voter chooses to vote in a primary election, they must choose to vote either the Republican ballot or a Democratic ballot. When they arrive at the polling location, they need to be prepared to present acceptable photo ID. Then at that time, the clerk will find them on the list of registered voters. Then their address is then verified to confirm that they still reside in that same address. And then they're required to indicate to that clerk which party ballot they desire to vote. And then they sign their name on the signature roster. And then at that point, they are given an access code that will bring up their ballot on the voting booth, and they go to the voting booth, and then they're able to cast their ballot.
Now, what kind of forms of ID are acceptable?
Currently, photo ID, as I said, is still required in Texas. There are seven forms that are acceptable, those being a Texas driver's license that's issued by the Texas Department of Public Safety, a Texas election identification certificate that's issued by the Texas Department of Public Safety, a Texas personal identification card, and then also the Texas license to carry a handgun, a United States military identification card that contains their photograph, their United States citizenship certificate containing their photograph, or a United States passport. Now, if a voter does not possess one of those seven forms and they cannot reasonably obtain one of those forms, then they can complete what we have a declaration of reasonable impediment. On that form, they would indicate the reason that they cannot reasonably obtain that ID. And then once they have completed that form, then they would need to show supporting ID. And that could be their voter registration certificate, a current utility bill, a bank statement, a government check, their paycheck, or some other form of government document. And all of these forms of ID must be current, or they cannot be expired no more than 4 years before presenting it.
Now, once voters get into the voting booth, they'll get to vote for candidates for the top state offices, as well as judges and more local positions, such as county chairman. Some of the offices have a lot of competition. Democrats will get to choose from 9 candidates running to become the party's nominee for governor, and Republicans will choose from 5 candidates running for the U.S. Senate seat currently held by Senator Ted Cruz. How do people find voter guides or other helpful information to help them make a decision about which candidate would be best to represent them?
We do have a lot of voters that do contact our office, and they are searching for information on their candidate. And what we do is we refer them either to the local party chairperson or the state party chair, depending on the office. And also, we also refer them to the League of Women Voters. They are an online source of voter guides that people can print off and, you know, find out information. Or we also refer them to the candidate's website if the candidate may have one. The information that they get for their candidate, they are allowed to bring with them to the voting booth when they vote. However, when they leave the voting booth, they need to take that with them and not leave it there in the booth.
And each of the ballots has propositions on it. What's the importance of this part of the ballot, both for the Democrats and the Republicans?
The propositions that are on the ballot, and we do have propositions on the Democratic ballot and also on the Republican ballot, and those propositions are non-binding, meaning they do not automatically become law. The parties present those and give us those to put on the ballot as a basically as an opinion poll. They're wanting to ask their voters how they feel about certain issues. And then depending on the results, the party then will decide, you know, what direction they need to go concerning those issues.
And the final day to register to vote in the upcoming primary is this Monday. Is that a postmark date, or do registrations need to be completed and turned in person by then?
Those applications must be in our office by February 5th, or they must be postmarked February 5th in order for us to consider them eligible for the March 6th primary.
And so once voters are registered, when does early voting start, and when does the vote by mail begin?
So early voting will begin on Tuesday, February the 20th, and it will continue each day, including the weekends, through Friday, March the 2nd. We have those locations. They're listed on our website and the hours that each location will be open. The second week of early voting, all of our locations will be open 12 hours a day. As far as voting by mail, for a person to vote by mail, they must be 65 years of age or older, be disabled, or perhaps they're going to be absent from the county during early voting and election day. What the voter would need to do is contact our office, and we would confirm their registration. And then we would send them an application. Once we've received the application back, then we prepare their mail ballot packet and mail it to them. There is a deadline for voters to submit those applications. We must have their application for a ballot by mail in our office, not postmarked, but in our office by Friday, February 23rd.
Okay. Lots of opportunities for all of our registered voters to either make it to the polls, to vote early, or to vote by mail, as you just described. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome.
Frieda Reagan is Taylor County's election administrator. Check out KACU's Facebook page for links to information about the acceptable forms of ID, sample ballots, and information on early and mail voting. Texas's March 6th primary is the first in the season. The last day to register to vote is this coming Monday, February 5th. I'm Heather Claiborne.